You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 207. And today, it's time to get unstoppable and stop making excuses for the results you don't have. Are you ready for this? I've got a special guest that's really going to get you fired up. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hello, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's your show host, Melanie Benson, profit amplifier and visibility catalyst for expert entrepreneurs. I'm super excited for today's episode. I have really been noticing how damaging excuses are, not just to getting results, but to our brains. Let me explain. I can't wait to get into today's episode, but one of the things that I've realized, and we've been doing this in the Amplify Mastermind for quite some time, is recognizing that the power of our neurons in our brain, the power that our habits have over our decision-making, over our thought processes, over how we procrastinate or get into action. And one of the things that's super damaging to the productivity levels that our brain naturally can fall into, the rhythms that we can naturally fall into, is when we make excuses. When we talk ourselves out of doing the very things that make a huge impact to results. An excuse is a way to allow yourself off the hook for doing what you know you need to do. And let me tell you, we get really good at making excuses in our lives. We get really good at rationalizing because they are real. But we always have choices, And it's one of the things I think if you ask the people in Amplify Mastermind, where does the real value come from? Yes, we work on strategy. Yes, we have this camaraderie. Yes, there's connection that's very irreplaceable for most of them. But what really happens is they get to look at the places where they can supercharge the way their mind functions and be able to accomplish things they didn't know they could accomplish because we eliminate the excuses that don't serve them. And if you recognize it's time to be unstoppable, to live a life without regret, without letting excuses define you, and part of that for you is you need a place where you get supercharged, where you get tapped into the momentum and the power and the excitement and that deep fueled, fired up state that you just can't let things get in your way, then I'm excited to reveal to you the new Amplify Inner Circle. Now, Mastermind isn't something that's right for everyone. We have very specific criteria. We really need a certain kind of level of success already to be able to benefit and make that kind of investment in your business. But Amplify Inner Circle is something that everybody can afford. Everybody can make it work in their life. And everybody will see a massive value out of that investment in your future success, because I'm going to share the same strategies I share in Mastermind with you in Inner Circle. The same proven techniques to get your message and your work out in front of your ideal audiences, your ideal clients, and turn those interested people into intrigued and invested buyers. So let's see if it's right for you. Head over to amplifyinnercircle.com. We are limiting enrollment in the beginning to 50 people. So we're only taking 50 people in the first round of openings. So I'd love for that to be you. Head on over to amplifyinnercircle.com and see if it's right for you. And remember, excuses are not going to pay your bills. Excuses are not going to get you out of bed and get you doing the things you need to do to build a business that makes a massive impact on this planet and creates a financial abundance for you in the process. And I hope my guest today will really inspire you. She's amazing. She just had me so excited, so fired up, and so clear about what we're supposed to do on this planet. And I know you're going to benefit too. So make sure you really listen in to our guest today And I hope I see you in Amplify Inner Circle.
Well, welcome back, Amplify community. Today, how about we get let's get a lot unstoppable. Who's up for living a life of no excuses? Let me introduce you to our guest, Victoria Pelletier. She is the Vice President of IBM's North American Talent and Transformation Practice. She's a senior executive with over 2 decades of progressive experience in strategy, operations, growth initiatives, and business and talent development. She's a visionary leader with a passion for innovation, creativity, and diversity and inclusion. In fact, Victoria has won both the 2020 Mentor of the Year Award from Women in Communications and Technology and the 2019 HSBC Diversity and Inclusion in Innovation Award. Ah, we love that. So Victoria serves as a board member for several organizations. She's a published author, in-demand public speaker, and appears regularly on national TV. An inspiring professional with impeccable credentials, Victoria is here with us. I feel so honored, Victoria.
Melanie, thank you so much for having me on. I'm really excited to be speaking with you and to your audience.
Well, you know, I was having this visual, like I know you've been on TV a lot, you've been in a lot of great stages. Like I was imagining you sitting across from Oprah at some point. So I don't know if that's happened yet, but hopefully it's on the way.
It's on the wish list.
Isn't it for all of us, right?
Completely.
You know, as I was telling you in the green room before we came on, I have this deep affinity for this idea of being unstoppable. It was the name of one of my first programs I ever introduced 20 years ago. It's one of the charities that I support, the Unstoppable Foundation. And I think there's something really extraordinary about this idea of being unstoppable. And I would love it if you would kick us off with telling us, what does unstoppable mean to you?
Yeah, it's a, you know, motto and social hashtag, and quite frankly, the title of a book I've written or co-authored in, you know, I've embraced it so liberally. And it was really a kind of reflection back, Melanie, over when I look at kind of the journey that I have had and the obstacles I faced one after another and continued to, you know, drive through those and, you know, make a choice in terms of how I was going to choose to handle it and define that as being very unstoppable. You know, I didn't let one thing standing in my way prevent me from moving forward to the, you know, the ultimate goal that I had set in front of myself.
I think, you know, anybody who sets really big goals or has a desire to arrive somewhere, they're going to have to figure out how to tap into this unstoppable energy. I think life is going to bring us lots of obstacles. Like we're living in a continuous unfolding obstacle right now, as we were talking about with this global pandemic. But I would love if you take us just a little bit deeper into your unstoppable philosophy, because I think there's a lot of entrepreneurs right now who need to tap in and really like feel that this is possible to rise above these obstacles that are kicking them around left and right.
I agree. My philosophy and approach around this has been, I mean, multifold, not around one. So I'm a big believer, and it drives my 16-year-old daughter in particular crazy. This philosophy of being unstoppable is also around just no excuses. And, you know, so for entrepreneurs or intrapreneurs, so I'm a corporate executive, but have, you know, built and bought businesses, and I support the startup community heavily. And in doing that, the no excuses is, you know, there's a 9-to-5 that if you need to work a day job, there's a 9-to-5, but there's also the 5-to-9, right? What do you do afterwards in terms of that your side hustle, your passion project, you know, and getting all that we must do in our day, you know, done. So that's, for me, has been it. I started working at a very early age, multiple jobs while I was in school, you know, and that meant compromise. I wasn't a party girl, right? I didn't have time for that. I focused on other things, you know, so that would be, you know, one. You know, two is around controlling the things that you can control. And you know what? Stuff happens. You know, again, it's your choice and how do you choose to respond to that? Now, My poor husband has to listen to me vent because I just need to get it out. If it's a terrible thing that just happened to, you know, verbal diarrhea, it's out. And then I choose to move on, right? At some point I'm going to take action, you know? So that's the next part of it. You know, as we stumble, as we're, whether it's building businesses or if you're working for a company, you know, and you've got a goal or objective that's been set for you, you know, around finding ways around through a variety of channels, not only your own perseverance, your own delivery, the network you build, all of those are all elements. So it's been, my journey's been, you know, a multitude of focus on all of those areas around, you know, not setting excuses for myself, setting that, you know, the goals and objectives high and like running straight through to get it.
Okay. We have to talk about excuses. In my experience, excuses are the death of the dream. They're the death of the goal, right? And yet excuses are so elusive. Like, people really don't realize they're making excuses. How could someone recognize that they are living in excuses and it's holding them back?
I think there's a difference. And this is where I'll spend a lot of time talking to people around saying you can rationalize, you know, and explain why something's happened. But if at some point it prevents you from moving forward, and that is, for me, is when it becomes an excuse, right? Like, again, stuff happens. COVID, right? So where we're talking about right now, right? So I lead a large business unit that's focused on supporting clients. And, you know, IBM is we're focused on quarter to quarter results and things got moved out. Okay, great, I can rationalize that. At this point now, six, seven months into it, there's no longer an excuse for my team or myself to not deliver, right? So it's that for me, that's the difference between rationalization and explanation of what has occurred and how we've got here. But then it turns into excuse when that just doesn't prevent you from moving forward and finding alternatives.
Okay, I got to go a little deeper because I have a hot button around excuses. And I may or may not have some clients who have had excuses about time. So let's take you as an example, because obviously you're on a mission. You have a lot going on. You have your executive in a corporation, and it appears you have a side hustle. How do you get over the excuse of there's not enough time to make everything work? Like, I'd love to dig into that a little bit.
Yeah, I have this saying, and where there is conviction, there is capacity, right? Where there's conviction, there's capacity. You know, so for me, like, if you want to get it done, you will find a way to get it done. Now, not, you know, kidding, there's 24 hours a day and we require some sleep. Got it. You know, I'm a fitness fanatic. So for me, there's a number of things. So I'm ruthless about protecting some time for me that brings me personal or professional joy, let's say. So for example, my working out, my calendar's blocked. Now, I work for a global organization. Doesn't mean I occasionally make exceptions, but I've blocked it in the morning. So people don't assume I can take an early morning call because that's when I work out. Number one, but that means I need to go to bed really early, you know, to make sure I get enough hours of sleep. I'm an avid multitasker to get it, you know, all done. But I've also learned to set boundaries and say no, right? If things do not bring me that, what I said, that personal or professional joy or value, I either say no to it, I delegate it, or I outsource it. And that's how you find time, capacity, and space to do all the things we want or need to do.
And I think, and I don't know if this is a woman thing or if men feel this the same way. So I'll ask our listeners, like, men, do you experience this at the level that women do? But like, that time boundary thing is really slippery. It is really easy to convince yourself you need to be somewhere that you don't really need to be, or you need to be saying yes to something you don't really need to say yes to. And I think that in itself perpetuates a lot of those excuses. So if you learn some lessons along the way that help you know, K-N-O-W, know what gets a yes and what gets a N-O.
I have also, one of the biggest lessons for me had to be to learn at some point to stop feeling guilty, both personally and like with my family and also professionally. And that's hard. Like, not gonna kid you, Melanie, like that's hard to not feel guilty when I can't go to my son's hockey game, you know, or I'm, you know, missing, you know, a key engagement activity at work because there were trade-offs. So the recognition that it's possible to have it all, but not always at the same time, or that at time there's an imbalance of one of those areas, and getting really comfortable and leaning into that discomfort without significant guilt is what I had to learn.
Hmm. Yeah. Guilt's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
What about other big lessons? I mean, you were telling us that you've been doing this since a young age. So I don't know what young is. I don't know if we're talking 16, we're talking 12, we're talking 18, but I'm imagining, you know, youngish, you got involved in being an executive. I gotta imagine you've had some pretty big learnings along the way that have helped fuel your unstoppable character.
Yes. So young, I started working like real work at age 11. By 14, I became a people manager. By 16, I was a manager of people managers. And at 24, 3 months after I gave birth to my son, I became an executive. I became the general manager and chief operating officer for a large B2B services organization.
So I wasn't that far off, was I? I was actually being funny and thinking, there's no way she's going to say 12. And you beat me. You said 11. Okay. Impressive.
Right. So there are some lessons on along the journey, 100%. Mm-hmm. You know, professionally, you know, a number of key lessons. I went from leading operations within an organization, which was more internally focused and in a B2C environment. So it's not that I never spoke to clients, but they were the end customers. I started working in banking, running contact centers, to moving into the world of that role as a general manager and COO. I had accountability for almost all functions of the organization, including our sales and marketing team, which caused a shift to be externally facing. And I grew into my extroversion. I don't know if I was really, I mean, you can debate this nature, nurture, you know, is it innate or not? You know, I was just very quiet and contemplative earlier. And then I got forced into a situation where I had accountability for leading a sales team and growth of the business and putting myself into places that made me uncomfortable. Small talk, going into a meeting room or a conference and needing to network was not comfortable for me. So I learned a number of things. So fake it till you make it doesn't work. Except I believe with confidence. And so I, you know, pretended to be confident and put myself out there and leaned into my discomfort of engaging in those conversations and, you know, starting to network. So that would be one. Two is I actually learned the value of network, right? The world is so incredibly small when you realize how connected we are, and more obviously with, you know, with social media, you don't know who's connected to whom. And early on in my career, I made a mistake and I burned bridges only to have them come back later. And so I do not generally do that today. There aren't instances where that doesn't happen. And then I also learned, you know, within that network, the criticality of having mentors and sponsors, you know, to help support me on that journey. Those would be some of the key lessons I'd say in that, in this now 20 plus years as an executive and more in sort of, you know, corporate America.
Yeah, I think our younger selves don't always recognize the value of relationships and those collaborative potential relationships until we don't have them, or we feel like, oh, maybe I burnt that bridge a little bit. And yeah, I would say my younger self definitely didn't understand how precious some of that was, and that there actually are a lot of ways to move through challenges without burning those bridges.
Mm-hmm. Agree. I had this this moment, and so one of my other lessons, I think, because I became an executive so at such a young age, there were kind of two massive insecurities and potential masks I wore, and one was age. So if I ever got forced into a corner to disclose my age, I actually lied for many years. you can believe I'm in the opposite direction that I might choose to do now, right? So I aged myself to somehow, I felt that gave me more credibility, number one. Number two, I was the only woman at the table for a very long time. And so the mask I wore, you know, was one of like this need to prove myself that I should be there and that seat at the table. And so I was all, and this ties back to relationships, I was all business all the time. Right, walk into a meeting, a conference room, launch right into the agenda, right? Without understanding, you know, the people in the room, and we all, my advice, like we bring our whole selves to work every day, and I masked that. And so my lesson, I was highly respected. I've been through 18 mergers, acquisitions, or some variation of one of those transactions in my career. And that means significant change and change management and having to make some tough decisions around the organizational structures and the synergy and cost takeout plays. And I learned that my nickname at one point was the Iron Maiden. And I kind of laughed that off, but it was not a couple months later where I came in one Monday and one of my colleagues asked what I'd done that weekend. And I said, oh, I watched whatever the latest movie was. And I was bawling. And she looked at me like with completely incredulous and said, Victoria, I thought you'd be the type of person who'd laugh at people who cried at movies. Mm-hmm. That, Melanie, for me, shook me. That was a big lesson around who I was as a leader, but also the types of relationships I was or was not establishing at work because I wasn't bringing my whole self. Because the fact is my best friend calls me turtle, right? Tough exterior, I can deal with a lot, the unstoppable nature, but I'm actually all marshmallow inside.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think as leaders of any kind of business, any kind of role, there's always this evolution of recognizing how to really be more authentic, how to be more real, and continue to hold those lines of respect that we need to have. And I'm so glad you shared that story because I think it's confusing for a lot of people. And I also think it, you know, this next question I want to ask you about is, maybe this is part of the solution, is really starting to uncover that each of us are a personal brand. And you have created a phenomenal personal brand in your work. And I would love to know, like, what a personal brand is. And, you know, as a person in a Fortune 500 or a large company versus, like, what does that mean to somebody who may be more entrepreneurial and creating a business around their brand?
You're right. So that story is a bridge for that, you know, for me, because I realized that, you know, who I wanted to be known as a, like, that's not it. On my epitaph, I don't want it saying, you know, what were the sales and how many merger and acquisition transactions, right? It's around the type of impact I want to have and, you know, the followership I want to create. And it was also that shift into leading sales teams. And at the end of the day, it is about relationship, about creating personal connection. And that connection is, you know, whether it's to the product or service that's being sold, but also the individual, right? People do business with people they like and they trust, and therefore they want to do business with. You know, so for me, I transitioned out of working in a bank, you know, with a, you know, I'm originally, you might hear it in the accent, I'm actually originally from Canada, you know, and there's only five big banks there. And so working for one, there's a lot of security that comes with that. To moving into that transition to the services world was outsourcing, highly commoditized business. So to differentiate myself and my team, it needed to be about us. You know, you're staring, you're looking in the whites of the eyes of the individuals who are going to deliver for you. And so to do that, you know, it means creating this brand. So within IBM, I'm our number one, what they call social seller globally. And that's having a large network, but also how I engage maintain the relationships, number one. Two, I've also developed our personal branding or eminence type training. And, you know, my message to my colleagues as I deliver that, are much more broadly, is that we are more than the subject matter expertise, or for your entrepreneurs, more than the product or the service that they're selling, right? Like, what differentiates you? What is what's the strategic, like, value proposition of, you know, you Inc., not just whatever LLC or incorporated company, you know, that you may have stood up, like that's critically important. And so, you know, elements of that are around bringing your whole self. You know, I may, you know, if you looked at my LinkedIn profile, I am more than a corporate executive, an author, a speaker. I'm passionate about diversity and inclusion and have been for many years, connector of people. But then I also have this broader brand around who I am as a leader. And, you know, around being transformational, around being operating with radical candor, like you know what you're going to get. There's no meeting after the meeting with me. We put our cards on the table and we have a real authentic conversation. That's all part of my brand. And I believe that's now love or hate. I'm going to say sometimes it could be polarizing and some people I may be too much for people, but you know what you're getting with me. But it tends to create, you know, this much more of a gravitational pull. And so I would encourage, you know, your listeners and everyone more broadly to look critically at, you know, what do people say about them when they're not in the room, and therefore do they or don't they want to engage with you and do business with you?
Yeah, that was really, really insightful. And what I took away from that is that a personal brand is much more than the outcome you create for people, which as entrepreneurs in particular, our marketing is always about what is the outcome, but really recognizing your brand, which is your differentiator, is a lot of those intangible experiences that your character and your personality infuses into the experience people have. Did I get that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God, I love that. And I think we have, like, I want to just create this aha moment for our Amplify community here. Do you really know what your personal brand is? And this great takeaway that we just received from Victoria is, what are people saying about you when you're not in the room? That is a really great reflection of your personal brand. So that's a real gem. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, there's so many aspects to being unstoppable. I would love if you would share about your book, Unstoppable, and where people could find your book. And then I've got a couple closing questions for you.
Excellent. Yeah, the best place to find it is on my website, which is victoria-peltier.com.
And for all of you who are racing for a pen or not quite sure how to spell that, I will link that up on the show notes for you. So you just have to pop over to the Amplify Your Success podcast and just search for Victoria and or Unstoppable, and you will get the show note link there. And what is in your book? Like, what is the thing that you hope readers take away when they get a copy, download it, or get it arriving in their mailbox, like the traditional books arriving?
You know, it is, I've used the word impact. And, you know, when I, you know, my brand and my goals over the years have, you know, morphed and changed, and having an impact and being able to inspire and motivate others, but not in the, forgive me for saying this, Tony Robbins inspiration, motivational way, but in a very, again, my authentic story and sharing that. That is what, you know, Unstoppable and my story is about, right? So for me, my unstoppableness and philosophy and way of life stems from some very, like, significant abuse as a young child. You know, eventually being given up and adopted to another family. And that's where it started. And there was more throughout. And so I talk a little bit about, you know, that journey. And again, making a choice, you know, to go one way versus, you know, the other. I could have wallowed, you know, in a lot of my own pain and hurt. And it created a little bit of that tough exterior shell, quite frankly, comes from that. The walls they built to protect myself. You know, but making a choice despite the pain and the circumstances, multiple, not just the early years, there were some that continued to persevere, you know, to, you know, reach the ultimate, you know, goal and objective. And they're not over yet. I've got a whole lot left to conquer, but to get where I am today, that's what I share, you know, in the book entitled Unstoppable. And I hoped it to motivate, inspire, and leave lasting impression and impact on others.
Well, I hope you will, as you're listening in, you know, if you are at a place where you're recognizing that you've had some traumas or some life experiences that are creating some shackles, maybe creating some inner programming that's causing you to not take these big leaps and be unstoppable. It feels like this book Victoria's written, Unstoppable, would be such a powerful, almost like a primer for you to really discover inside of you how to overcome these situations that we can let become excuses. And so Victoria, like, thank you for sharing your journey and for putting it on paper. I know how much courage we have to muster up to share some of those deep, dark caves that, you know, these little crevices where our little secrets are. But I think if we want to help people become the best versions of themselves, like, they need to hear that, hey, we're doing this and guess where we came from?
Exactly. Yes. Thank you.
Yes. So along these lines, how about we wrap up with a little bit more about you and your journey, and especially now that I know, you know, you've come from a place where there was trauma and things you had to overcome. You, at a young age, became such a, I can say this, I think, on the podcast, you became such a badass and have really allowed yourself to become unstoppable. What do you think is the boldest thing you had to do to get where you are today?
There were, professionally, it was making the leap from into that first executive role, quite frankly, being a new mother, right? My son was 3 months old, leaving a quote unquote secure job. Not, there is no job security. But again, I mentioned working for a big five bank where I'd been for a number of years, making that leap. That was incredibly bold. I had to, in my own head, build a bridge between the work that I had been doing and the successes that I'd had into a very new environment that stretched me significantly. One, to recognize that I was going, you know, from a more comfortable 9-to-5 working environment to a 24/7 outsourced environment where I literally was on call, you know, and as a new mom. And then, you know, leading teams and doing things that made me very uncomfortable, that whole notion of, as I've said, leaning into your discomfort. And in doing that, I actually believe that role set me up significantly. You know, the margins, that razor thin margins in the outsourcing world, right? You need to learn how to be incredibly effective at running a business, or you lose money. But it was also a privately held organization. And I ultimately, you know, quit within a couple of years discovering fraud with one of the owners, because I had, but going back to my brand and my values, I stood very much up and said, I can't be associated with this. That role and everything I did and leaned and the sacrifices and risk I took is quite frankly what prepared me for the next 20 years of my career.
Have you ever said these words to yourself, or maybe was reflected back to you by a mentor, that everything that's happened to you is part of the story you're meant to tell in your book? And it gives you that framework of like, okay, I can get through this. I'm meant to take this and make it stronger so I can help other people.
100%. Absolutely, Melanie.
Yeah. Sometimes that's my charge mantra. It's like, okay, I can do this. I have to get through this because somebody needs to know how to do this.
That's right.
Victoria, thank you so much for joining us here on Amplify Your Success. You know, I have this deep belief that when we have become unstoppable and we have character and experience overcoming great obstacles, like, it's almost like in our DNA that we have to get out there and inspire other human beings to step up their game and like be unstoppable on their journey. So I'm so glad that you're out there doing this work.
Thank you so much. And I'm glad that you brought me on today. Thank you so much. I hope there, you know, it provides some value, some nuggets to your listening audience.
Oh, I got value and have lists. I got nuggets. So I can't wait to hear from you as a part of our Amplify Your Success community. What was a great takeaway from today? What is a way that you can tap into being unstoppable? Why don't you come into the Amplify Your Success community and tell me what you're going to do this week to be more unstoppable? This is Melanie Benson, your host. Thanks so much for listening in today. If you want to catch up on any of the show notes and circle back on any of the resources we shared in today's show, head on over to the show page at amplifyyoursuccesspodcast.com. And remember, You amplify your results faster when you're in a community of other people who are moving and shaking. Join us at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. One last thing. When you've gained insight from today's episode, help us share that and inspire other people by heading over to iTunes, subscribing, and give it a review. iTunes absolutely loves seeing these reviews pop up, and it actually helps boost my show's visibility. So I would be super grateful for your reviews. And as always, I love seeing your shares of these episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Come find me over there. Tag me in your shares. I'll give you some social media love right back. So see you next week for another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success Podcast.